Gordons.
This country is at war.
I, your leader, will see you safely through to a better world! And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
Talking now. This is A Walk in the Black Forest. My name is Abe. Are you getting anything? Nothing from you? This is going to be a minor problem. We're getting from me, but no one else. Well, give me your intro, mother... Scar! You know, from the bowels of the of Curious George's cave once. Comes A Walk in the Black Forest, episode 232.
On
tonight's show, the things they put in CDs today, millions of peaches, the winter smell, stuff, Jesus, the return of the resurrection, and that's what's left of Paris Hilton. A Walk in the Black Forest, Travolta's handbag.
That's quite good, Pete.
Thanks.
Actually, I think we should probably get you to do it every week. It sounded a lot more authoritarian.
Oh, I thought authoritarian.
Yeah, definitely authoritarian. Because when Abe does it, it's more of like a blabbing little baby sort of thing.
A person who is of ill repute.
Yeah, and you should have seen what he did with that donkey.
Oh, not good. No, that doesn't work.
Took me three weeks to clean that up.
Not a thing.
Which
anyway,
isn't necessarily a bad thing.
This is A Walk in the Black Forest. 2RRR 88.5 FM, and it's 22 minutes to the hour of 11
Do people call you that?
O'clock. He can't talk.
That's the beauty of it.
So you're going to ask him the questions and basically only get... So it's instead of a rhetorical question, it's a rhetorical answer. Indeed. That's it. As I said, A Walk in the Forest, 2RRR 88.5 FM, show number 232.
Is it?
232.
232. Yeah. 230.
You know, that's an awfully lot. It is an awful lot of shows.
an awfully lot of shows. When you think back that we used to, stupidly, we did like 6 hours for a year or two.
We did, I know. I don't know why we did that.
Couple of years?
Idiocy, I say. Idiocy.
6 hour shows. And, it was Slant 6.
It was. That was Slant 6, actually. Yes, you're right. And the track we did play off Slant 6 was the track Don't Censor Me, and that was off there at Soda Pop.
Yeah, what year is that, Pete? Because they sound awfully lovely.
94.
What is this awfully thing I've got on tonight?
I don't know.
74?
94. Oh, yeah, 1974.
Because they sound...
Came out with the Heart album,
awfully lovely.
Yeah.
Like Die Cheerleader, but they were a little bit heavier.
They were, and that was on the Almighty Discord label.
Yeah, because as you know, I've spent the last, 2 months copying. Did I say copying? I meant copying. See, that's the, you mention the word copying, and straight away it's like, ooh!
Porting. You're porting your CDs over to your...
I'm transcoding. To use the proper
technical
term.
You're a technical man.
Transcoding my 3,000 CDs into iTunes.
Excellent.
Not iTunes Store, because I'm not interested in making money off selling everything I bought.
No.
But yeah, and I bumped into
the two
Slant Sixes the other day.
You did hear that Murdoch is now going to start selling songs.
I did.
Bit of a shocker, that one.
Not really, is it?
No, well, see, last week we were discussing the concept of MySpace.
Yes, but I think Abe's opinion was that they were going to start charging for use of MySpace, which completely flies in the face of the whole point of it. The point is that MySpace gets you such market traction because it's absolutely free.
Yeah, but here's the deal, though. This is the problem I have with it, is that currently those songs are available for free. So...
Illegally.
No, if the artists themselves has put them up.
Oh, sure, yeah.
They're available for free.
Yeah. So, oh, on MySpace. Yeah, yeah, on MySpace. They've got that little tacky music player that hardly works on many machines.
So,
yeah,
what's going to happen now is someone's...
Another one. Because I go there quite a lot to follow up bands' music and can't play them or download them or do anything freaking useful with
them. Them.
Yeah.
I found that today on CBS News. I went to go and look at something and I could only stream it. Very annoying.
So?
But, my point being that if you go up to, say, your average...
I'd like a... filter.
It'd be nice to when we pop filter? Pop next door, you'll probably be able to do it.
That'd be good.
Studio 76 all good? Good to go?
What's that song that goes, bye-bye.
Yeah, you'll have to narrow it down. So, make up my point.
I thought you'd know, Pete, because you know every song
in the
world. I
know nothing about...
There was a show on tonight on ABC FM.
Yeah.
Not ABC FM, I don't know why I was listening to them. Whatever it was, one of the ABC stations that was just naming as many cover versions... That people calling in found interesting.
And was there any interesting ones?
Oh, they were all mainstream ones. Yeah, okay. And I was like, well, you know.
Like, who cares?
Maybe I should give them a call and, you know. Well, we could have called them and rattled off thousands.
We could have, but
we would have held up their phones all evening.
But that would have been anal.
It would have been.
So what we're going to do, just so that people are aware of why Abe's voice isn't being heard.
Yeah, and the reason why we're just talking about
Nothing, really, is that we're just about to do something technical. We don't want to ruin the image of radio here. We're going to do something technical in about 30 seconds. Would that be about right, O-Panel Nazi? In about 30 seconds. And then we'll be back in fine form, in full voice.
It's a bit of an issue, though, because we've never actually moved across 11 studios.
No, in the space of about a minute and a half.
We've usually moved into, like, studios next to each other and stuff, but these are, like, in two separate wings of the Triple R broadcasting complex.
They are.
So we don't even know if we've got a song long enough for us to actually get up and walk the entire distance.
Well, I was going to say, because the lifts have been turned off at this time of night.
They have.
And I don't think the travel aiders are working either. I think they've
been
cleaned.
I don't think they are either.
Damn.
So
it's going to be a bit of a problem. Are we ready, Panel Nazi? Play the song.
Incident. It is now all over the internet. And I expect it's going to start receiving magazine pickup and newspaper pickup Monday. And it could not come at a worse time.
To return this call, press 8-8. To copy this message to another person, press 6. To delete this message and go... Message deleted. Saved message Thursday, January 27th, 5:43 p.m.
Hey, sweetie, it's me. It's Paige. It's about 5:40 on Thursday. But call me. So the address is 1121 Shadow Hill Way in Beverly Hills. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Saved message Sunday, January 30th, 9:36 a.m.
Hey, it's me. It's Mike again. I called you like 5 minutes ago. You didn't call me back. I'm just wondering, maybe you didn't get the number right. It's Michael Nelson, 973-586-1406. I'm interested in a good time tonight, so give me a call. Peace.
To return this call, press 8-8. Message Sunday, January 30th, 12:17 p.m.
Hey, Paris, what's up? You don't remember me, but I still want to fuck, so let's do it. Here's the hanging.
Saved message Monday, January 31st, 8:19 a.m.
Hey, Paris, someone just calling. Had a good time last night. Maybe you should call me back. We'll hook up again later.
Saved message Monday, January 31st, 12:47 p.m.
What's up, baby? Sean, hit me back. You got my number.
Saved message Thursday, February 3rd, 4:57 p.m.
Hey, girl. May you call me back. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. That was Paris Hilton's Friends.
Yeah, I know. I know who did that. God, it was good, though.
How do we sound? How do we sound in Studio 74?
A little bit different, I notice, as a slight... not an echo. I don't think echo is the word we're looking for. I think it's ambiance.
Well, see, my problem is that I'm still exhausted from the 19 flights of stairs.
Oh, that problem, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just tired. Anyway, this is Welcome Back. Sorry, I was going to swear then, and I decided, no, I'm not going to do it that early in the program. Because I know there are swear counters out there. It's around about 10:45 here on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Who is going first? Guidance of the Lord, me.
There were certain nuances in that intro. Nuances in the intro. I think we lost.
I think so. Do you want to do it again?
No.
Okay.
But I think we lost nuances.
No, let's do it. Let's do it again.
No, give it a go. I want to hear your
from the top.
From the top.
No, because I know what Richard's going to say, so I'm not going to.
You're not
going
to give him the...
All right, fine. I'm doing it, okay?
With the intro.
I'm doing... Oh, you want the song? Jesus. Yes, my son.
Professionalism, man.
All right, you want the song?
Yeah, we'll have the song.
The following program contains
apart from that bit,
language, left-wing political comment, an offensive line.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
From the bowels of Curious George's cave comes a walk in the Black Forest, episode 232. On tonight's show, it's 32. The things they put in CDs today, Millions of Peaches, The Winter Smell, Stuff, Jesus 2, The Return of the Resurrection, and all that and what's left of Paris Hilton. A walk in the Black Forest, Travolta's handbag. To hear the nuances? There were nuances.
It was nuance.
Yeah.
I'd count nuances.
Yeah, look, I'd go with Pete's version. Can I try it? Let me try it. Fuck you guys. You want to write that down first?
What time is it? No.
Right, go back. So where am I reading from? Oh, right, yeah, go. Okay, so intro.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, no, come on. You guys had a go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The following program contains strong language, left-wing political comment, an offensive line.
I understand that.
I'll remake it.
With the sound of music.
And now, a walk in the Black Forest.
From the bowels of Curious George's case comes a walk in the Black Forest, episode 232.
It's 232?
On tonight's... No.
I'm not too sure.
Tangs they put in CDs today. Millions of Peaches. The Winter Smell. Pumping the Mound. Stuff. Jesus 2. The Return of the Resurrection. And all and what's left of Paris Hilton. A Walk in the Black Forest. Travolta's Handbag. Studio change.
How about me?
And that, gents, is how it's done.
Professional.
You know, I think Richard Burton's was better.
I thought so too.
Yeah, should we get him?
Yeah, I think we should.
I'll make a call.
Can we get onto something vaguely less serious?
You need to work on your spelling.
Last week, ladies and gentlemen.
Last week? Oh, yeah. Resurrection. No, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
It's spelled E-R-E-C-T-O-N.
The one at the top there where it says, what's the first line?
From the bowels of Curious George's cave comes.
Oh.
Anyway. On to more serious matters, or less serious matters. Last week I posed a metaphysical...
Who's Curious George?
He's a monkey.
He's a monkey.
As in, hey, where there?
Yes.
Yes, he's the missing monkey. In fact, he used to be in the Beatles, don't you remember, George?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's him. Anyway, last week I posed a metaphysical conundrum to one and all. And that metaphysical conundrum
How long do you reckon, Abe, it would take? What time do you think on the clock it will be? Yeah, just in theory.
Metaphysically.
What time do you think it would be on the clock... By the time Pete gets to start his segment.
I'm giving it a good, I'd say 7 minutes. Seven minutes would be good because then it's the top of the hour, nearly.
Because 11 to 11 is not a bad time.
No, it's pretty good.
54 minutes.
You know, I actually,
the first
I think segment. An even number would be good. How about 10 to 11?
10 to 11's not too bad. If we could stretch it out until that point?
If we make it 10 to 11, then it's an even number. Not only is it an even number, do you know what? 10... In Latin is deci.
Oh, it is, yeah.
You see, it's perfect.
I know, it makes
perfect
so much
today.
Sense.
Uh-huh, I thought so. And also, not only that, today is the 5th. 2 times 5 is 10.
Oh, fantastic.
See?
And you know what? The show starts. at 10:30.
Really?
But the most important thing about stretching it out to 10 o'clock...
Is it actually makes sense to do so?
Is... Oh, yeah, that's one of the things. But it also means that I can say, you're on Triple R, Walk in the Black Forest. It's 10 to 11. What do you got, Pete?
How about I play a song? That's it. Okay. Anyway, back
last
to us.
Last week, I posed a metaphysical conundrum, which was, if you could clone Jesus, who would be Jesus' father? Boom, boom. Now, I thought being, you know, I got this from Mike Willisey, Enough Rope, all this sort of stuff. I did a little bit of searching this week about cloning Jesus. I typed in the phrase, cloning Jesus.
We had some feedback on our site, didn't we?
Did we?
Oh, didn't you see that?
No, I didn't see that one. Did someone feedback about that?
Someone on our site was claiming that we'd talked about this already years and years ago.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that's an interesting one. Quite possibly we
intimating, if that's that we're the just right context.
That we're resurrecting material.
That not only are we ripping off material, but we may have already resurrected Jesus.
Ourselves.
Isn't that interesting?
Interesting. Maybe Plumbing we stored him in... Ow. Studio 5, because they haven't opened Studio 5 for several years now.
No, it's
there's that sign on the door that says wet paint.
Plumbing the depths.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Pete, you want to give a commentary of what just happened in the studio? Visual gag.
It's a visual gag. Abe is holding the CD drawer in his hand. Oh, mighty bejeebus. But anyway, back to this.
I'm not changing to another studio. I don't care what goes wrong in here. I am not changing again.
We just work with it.
Why don't we go to Studio 12?
Okay.
Now, so they haven't used Studio 12 since last year.
I think we should go to Desi 10.
Typed in the phrase, cloning Jesus, into Google, in inverted commas, funnily enough.
Is now a bad time to interrupt?
No, not at all. Okay, Richard is reaching into his bag. It has happened to
put. You guys seen that?
Yes, and what the hell is it?
Oh,
it is a thin
can of Coke.
It is really thin. It's even thinner than the American and UK.
It's a Red Bull can.
It's a Red Bull can.
Yes.
So I think it's slightly taller, though, isn't it?
It's the same.
You hold it in your hand, you'd know. You're a bull.
No, it's a Red Bull. It's a Red Bull can.
I'd say it's about the same size.
So it's the same shape and size.
They're bottled by the same company, aren't they?
But the weird thing about this one is it's made in New Zealand. Now it's making me Now it's making me think that they've added extra caffeine to take Coke, Diet Coke and Coke Zero up to the level of Red Bull and V.
It doesn't say that it was made in New Zealand.
The one I've seen is
made
in New Zealand. So I'm thinking there's
made at the Oasis in Mount Wellington.
Maybe it's just a new marketing tool for Coca-Cola.
Could be that to give it the impression that it's Red Bull or that it's Red Bull.
Now I haven't opened it, but the interesting thing, there's two interesting things about this.
Yes.
One is that it stays so cold.
And the second thing
is... And I'm assuming because it's so thin, right, it can't actually warm up in the middle.
Mm. Oh. That
makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And the second thing is... It
doesn't make any sense whatsoever, Pete.
Where he stored it.
The second one is that Terence Trent D'Arby is on the front. Isn't he? Isn't he?
No.
Isn't that Terence Trent D'Arby?
No, it's not.
Isn't that his logo?
I have no
Terence
idea.
Terence Trent has
a
logo.
Terence Tubby?
Pull down your dacks and show me a tattoo of it.
No, it's like a silhouette of a Viking without his warring paraphernalia. Am I thinking the wrong guy?
But I think you are.
No. But it's one of those guys. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No, I have no fucking idea.
I'm just going to turn me down for a second because my levels were a lot.
You were screaming.
Now I'm fucking him up. That's anyway. Three for me. So Terence Trent D'Arby is on the new Slimline Coke.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm sorry. I have no idea what you're talking
about. I wonder if he gets a sponsorship deal.
Though you notice it's missing the dynamic ribbon.
Notice from a different... Look, if I had to go like that, Pete, I'm like I'm moving the backwards and forwards. Now it looks like Terence.
I'm just feeling sick.
Doesn't it? If I had a Terence Trent D'Arby song, I'd play it now. He would be dancing on the panel.
Now I get it.
You've got it?
I've got it now, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, finally. And now
the interesting thing about saying that it's Terence Trent D'Arby is now that everybody, whenever they buy one of these things, are going to be thinking Terence Trent.
They're also more expensive, too. You're paying more for less. It's like 250 mils, yeah.
Well, why the fuck did I buy
this? So it's 300 mils.
300 mil, which is smaller than a
375.
Than a can. It's smaller than a bottle. Which are 425
yep.
or 600.
600.
Correct.
Exhibit
Can
B.
you stop banging on
and
my desk?
And it is the same size. It's actually, no. it is slightly, okay. it's slightly bigger than the new glass cafe bottles, which is.
Oh, I hate those glass, the glass cafe bottles really shite me.
What's a glass cafe bottle?
The ones you can buy in cafes in glass. It's the only ones you can get with the pop tops. Descriptive. Cloning Jesus. 1.4 million references on Google. 1.4 million references on Google, and that was with Safe Search on.
Oh, really? Mm. You know, the...
Do you use Safe Search?
No, it defaults to it at work.
Does it really?
Yeah.
The you mean there's an unsafe search?
Don't you install the Google toolbar and turn it off that way?
I do, but it keeps turning back on.
No, take off the Google toolbar, dude, because it takes over your computer.
Does it?
Slows it down, because it has to load everything up that's in the Google toolbar.
Mm.
And it's just bad.
Anyway. Do you know what my number one hit on Google is for my website?
What? Hemorrhoids?
Fucking video.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you play a song?
No,
I'm serious.
I think cloning Jesus is a good idea.
I might come back.
How the hell else are we going to nail someone else up on a cross?
All right, cloning Jesus.
It's just above my name.
There is. Clone Jesus.
Oh, who left their phone on?
Me.
Is that Crosstalk from...
Studio 8, yeah. There is a website, clonejesus.com.
Oh, wow.
And to describe clonejesus.com, the Second Coming Project is a not-for-profit
organization. Is that a statement or a question?
Clonejesus.com. Statement.
Right, okay.
Second Coming is a not-for-profit organization devoted to bringing about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as prophesied in the Bible.
Well, also...
You so picked that language
dude,
very carefully.
Dude, as also prophesied in the Da Vinci Code, because he has a kid in the Da Vinci Code. I'll leave it alone.
In time for... You read Da Vinci Code?
Yeah, it's great.
You sick.
I really enjoyed it.
Anyway, like millions of others around the world.
The only problem I have with the Da Vinci Code is when you call it a work of fiction, the Christians don't complain. That's my big problem with it.
That's a fair point, really. Anyway, in time for the 2000th anniversary of his birth, our intention is to clone Jesus, utilizing techniques pioneered at the Roslin Institute in Scotland to take an incorrupt cell from one of the many holy relics of Jesus' blood and body that are preserved in churches throughout the world, extracting its DNA and inserting an unfertilized human egg through the now-proven biological process called nuclear transfer. The fertilized egg, now the zygote of Jesus Christ.
The zygote?
I'm looking forward to the holy zygote of Jesus Christ Church of Latter-day Zygotes. Will be implanted into the womb of a young virginal woman, which they'll be struggling to find in this day in society, who has volunteered of her own accord, who will then bring baby Jesus in a second virgin birth.
You know, I would say that George W. Bush would volunteer his daughters, but both of them are whores, so he can't.
If all goes according to plan.
You know, that's probably one of the only reality TV shows that I'd watch. That's the Finding the New Virgin Mary. Because you know how NXS
American
with
Virgin
found the new lead singer for NXS, yeah.
American Virgin.
Yeah. American Virgin.
That's a really cool idea.
I reckon it'll work.
Nice.
You'd be really struggling, though. Except maybe in the South. Find another
virgin.
But anyway.
Find a virgin.
I get that. That's not funny.
Ooh.
If all goes to plan, the birth will take place on December 25th, 2011.
Hang on, Pete, go. Yeah.
If all goes to plan, the birth will take place on December 25th, 2011.
Why 2011?
And all calendrical calculations will begin anew. I don't know.
Oh, that's probably just how long they plan it's going
to
take.
So if you want to donate to the fertilized Jesus zygote. No, you don't need. They don't need sperm because they've got the DNA. They just need a fertilized Jesus zygote. And if you can provide one of those, please send your contributions
to... Where are they
going to
get a Jesus zygote from? Isn't that a fatal flaw in their plan?
I think it is. But maybe God will provide.
Maybe he'll send down his own unborn zygote.
I was going to say, why doesn't he just send down another one?
That's a fair point.
Mm. If he was meant to be here, wouldn't he just send another one? Federal Express are pretty fast.
Now,
wouldn't say the Australia Post, though.
Now, throughout all this, Pete, no one's actually thought about how Jesus feels.
No, that's a fair point,
I mean, I don't know if he wants a twin brother.
That's very good.
I mean...
As this person says...
He would then be the prince of half his domain.
Oh, maybe he'd be the dark side.
Could be.
Oh, good one, man.
Could be. That's a fair point.
I like that idea. Maybe...
Alter ego.
Maybe the Christians...
Doppelganger.
Oh, yes! Mm. Almost like a two-faced nemesis.
Indeed.
That'd be cool. Mm.
Or any of those terms.
What they could do, they could have, like, this Find a Virgin game show, and then what they could do is they could have Jesus versus Evil Jesus game show. It's like celebrity, boxing, but with the two, you know, sons of God.
Celebrity God match.
Who'd be the referee?
I think you've seen too much wrestling, eh?
Yeah,
they could have Jerry Springer as the dude. Ding ding.
Call one the Son of God and call
there
one
you go.
the spurned son of God.
The spawn.
The spawn of God. Mm,
yes.
Nice.
Oh, the corrupt spawn.
No, even better. The Jesus zygote.
Oh.
Anyway, basically they're claiming that this is highly possible because there are many relics around the world, many churches containing holy relics of Jesus' body, his blood, his hair, his foreskin.
What? What? He's what? Jewish.
Someone has his foreskin?
Who kept that?
I don't know, but allegedly some Christian church has his foreskin.
God, there's a publicity the foreskin idea. Of Why God. They use that for something?
Hold on a second. Can I just rewind here for a second?
The Da Vinci circumcision.
Aren't foreskins Lucky Charms?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Somewhere, some guy's walking around wearing Jesus' foreskin in his pocket.
Yes.
Do you think he rubs it between meetings? And
praise.
I know his keychain
like
to be a bit odd looking.
Do they pucker beads?
I was going to say bejeebus, but anyway. If you'd like to donate to the Second Coming Project, you can...
See, you can donate, Carl.
You can. You can go to... I mean, I was holding off on that joke, just holding away from it, not going near it. You can go to P.O. Box 295, Berkeley, California, 94701.
Send it in a vacuum sealed jar.
Exactly. Make sure it's clean.
Door with tags and
that
stuff.
Was what was the track? I don't even know what it was. Was it your pick?
Born to Run off the new Casanovas album.
There we go.
Born
it's
to Run.
3 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock here on 88.5 FM. My name is Peter. That is Richard.
Hello, my name
is Abe.
Yeah,
and you
me.
Are listening to A Walk in the Black Forest, either live here on 88.5 FM, or through our brand new...
I should have put Don't I Like Mondays on the
on,
do that. Did you bring your cables?
I did, but it's going to take ages in this studio, because the panel is actually...
I
like,
just wanted to do that to see Abe's face, because the studio...
Do okay. it then.
I'm not going to use it. The studio is just falling apart around you.
Uh-huh. So,
As he slips food into his mouth, you unprofessional git.
As you sit there and drink Coke, you unprofessional git.
I am testing a segment. Thank
okay,
you very
good
much.
Man. Now, as I said, this is for people listening on TRRR or listening to our podcast. I pity the fool.
I was going to say, how do you feel about ruining a download limit?
www.blackforest.org.
You look a bit like a nerd.
I was going to say, you're one. Can I view?
Sure. www.walkbyforest.org. And there's links there to our vast wealth of podcasts.
And knowledge.
Or two.
I feel like an idiot.
Why?
It's like you're in a studio with me.
As well. calling it a podcast, because for so many years, the show's on the web, the show's on the site, the show's on the internet.
Yeah.
Download the MP3.
Yep.
Why is it all of a sudden a podcast?
Well, it's the first word that came to my head. There was no particular.
I mean, that's what they call
there's
it.
There's
now.
No. There was no.
And I could talk for an hour
on
about how much it annoys me.
But it, for me, it was the first word that was descriptive. The MP3 file of last week's show and perhaps this week's show is also on our website, www.walkblackforest.org.
Oh, you put the last 2 weeks up.
No. This week's show I'm talking about. If they're listening to it now on the web.
Well, in theory, if you're talking to them now, they don't need to freaking know because they're either listening now or they're listening after downloading.
Okay, this is esoteric. Let's move
anyway.
on. So anyway.
Millions of peaches.
I'm in a mood.
Peaches for
millions
free.
Of peaches. Dum, 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 dum. Don't like Mondays. That's
Yeah, I know. I got it. I'm just showing my dissatisfaction with nothing really, the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got two quick.
I can have someone quick for you.
Yeah,
quick.
Please.
Geldof sightings.
Go.
For those millions of peaches. Give me some sort of intro, Abe. I need something. Just. That's it. That's good. And then
thank
that,
you.
That is perfect.
I'll dub that off and you can use that every week now.
Oh, cool.
I don't know why it says. It's meant to say peaches here, but it says eaches.
Eaches.
Which is quite appropriate.
Millions of eaches. Mm. Right, so peaches was seen with Glenn Matlock.
Who's he?
From
during the week.
Sex Pistols.
He was the original bass player.
Oh, really?
Before they dumped him and got someone who wasn't as talented.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he a little old?
Yes.
He's 40 years older than a dad.
That'd be my point. She was seen, she's 17 years old, right? Mm. She was seen at the Boogaloo, which is a pub in London.
Electric Boogaloo.
With Glenn Matlock and Shane McGowan.
Now there's
a good company.
I was going to say, now there's someone your dad would really like you to be hanging out with.
Yeah. And now somebody who spotted
them. So, peaches. Smack. Ever tried it?
Well, hey, maybe she's helping them.
That's a good point. Mm. Hey, Shane. You check out line of Coke. Ever tried it?
Richard got a tube of Coke.
Yeah,
just
look, probably, probably, probably most likely. Yeah, probably yes. Most likely.
What? Just on its own, he would say.
Yeah,
live a little.
At aperitif, darling. That's that only right? An aperitif.
I'm so gonna bring my own personal compressor in next week. Is that
sure.
What you want me to do?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm helping. What do you want me to do? It's not set and forget.
No. I'm serious. Would you like me to... I'll do this. When I'm talking loudly, I'll go like this, and then I'll talk something like this. Apparently, the only quote I've got there...
You know...
Someone who saw them... Shut up!
Okay. So, you know what happens? This is the thing you see. People say to me, you know, Richard sounded really distorted, and I say to myself... If he wasn't yelling into the fucking microphone, he fucking well wouldn't. But you know what? He does. Anyway, back to Richard.
That's too brave, though.
Oh, yeah, that's me. Look, I do apologise if you are offended by bad language, which you have to understand my aggression. This comes from a core. This comes from a something.
Religious belief?
That'll do.
Hmm. Okay. Anyway.
He was contributing to this Jesus project.
He was. Unfortunately, that's why I was out the back.
Don't
forget.
So anyway, apparently,
I've successfully pissed both of you off. It's really good.
So apparently Peaches was seen in a pub with Shane McGowan.
With Shane McGowan and Glenn Matlock.
Mm.
And one of the people who was there who saw them... I'll be gentle, and I'll be easy on the microphone. we're still on for later, aren't we? Oh, someone's
out. Oh, sorry.
Right. Said she was jumping up and down to the music like a mad woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Look, Phil's out there, and I thought to myself, you know, Phil's in the building, so if anyone in the you know vicinity has a mini disc, maybe don't let it anywhere near him.
See, we mentioned the Jesus Project, and everyone wants to come in and donate.
I know Phil's coming in to donate to the Jesus Project. Phil, you've got
to
realize
to go
actually,
to a song.
Hey, you know, yeah.
People, bring your own jar. We're sick and tired of using the same one.
Yes. And the Jesus Project, we're looking for a virgin.
Yeah. In Gagan. Anyway, back to Peaches.
I don't think I know, Phil.
Millions of Peaches.
You just stick your mug at the window so I can
Peaches
see
for
you.
Free. Millions of Peaches.
So, and the other one, the other quick one. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Now we've got
no
it.
No good call.
Now we're in trouble. We're in big trouble now. What? Anyway. Okay, so the other big spotting for...
Yep.
Pete's going, how do we get this back?
Welcome to the last program of Welcome Back
Rupert, Forest. Rupert Everett.
Yes.
Rupert Everett. Who was in, Peter?
Yes. He was in
Madonna for a while.
Yeah, Madonna for a while. And I believe...
He was in everyone, according to this.
Yes. Yeah, I was just about to... Yeah, I was going to say something.
He was in... He was in a movie.
He was. He was in
My Best Friend's
Wedding.
Yes. He was also the voice of Prince Charming in Shrek.
Yes.
So was I?
Yeah. Now, he's explained in this article and about a dozen other articles that I saw.
It was big news.
As openly gay.
Yes, very openly gay.
Openly gay.
He can't be too openly gay. He wouldn't be able to sit down.
So openly gay. And he said that during the times of... I don't know why I said times.
The dates.
He was... I'll just say it. He was getting it off with Paula Yates.
He was. On and off, I believe, is the description.
Mm.
Yes, on and off. Oh, you're reading over my shoulder.
No. I actually read an article this morning.
Yeah, he had an on and off affair with Paula Yates
before
she got with Michael, apparently.
Yeah, but behind Bob's back.
Behind Bob's back. Yeah, it was all... If you can just picture the three of them... And
Bob's back's turned.
It's quite a bit of a logistical thing.
I was going to say, if he is openly gay, wouldn't he be behind Bob's back?
See, that's the confusing thing, isn't it, really?
I've got to be confused.
He said, you got the quote there, but in the paper this morning, he was mentioning something about the fact that he doesn't understand his homosexuality.
Yes, it says that here too, Peter.
Oh, good. Wow.
Would you like to read? Maybe you should read it.
No, I've
maybe not... all three of us should try.
Can you two stop sleeping with each other before the show?
So, scattered throughout this article is the fact that he's very open, very gay.
Yep.
Openly gay. And very British.
Really?
He's very, very a lot of things. And he was very on with Paula Yates. And he said,
very not with Bob Yeloff.
We don't know that. He didn't necessarily say he wasn't.
That's true. There was no denial.
No. Mm. He just said at least that side of the fence. Well, he didn't say at least. I said at least.
Yeah.
Because we're just like to remind everyone at home, we are not journalists.
No, not at all.
He said, that side of our relationship was tenuous. Mm-hmm. To say the it should be very tenuous, actually. Mm-hmm.
It should be very tenuous.
Write that in.
I think you should add that.
And our lives went in different directions. Mm-hmm. Probably very different directions, yeah, I imagine. He said, I am mystified by my heterosexual affairs, which is what you were alluding to, Peter, amongst other things, before we came in here.
Probably misquoted it.
But then I am mystified by most of my relationships, he said.
That's unfortunate for him, including his relationship with Madonna.
Madonna can't sing.
No.
Can't dance either.
But she likes British men because she's married to Guy Ritchie.
She does.
Indeed.
And that's our Geldof spottings.
Wow.
Oh, excellent.
That's not much this week.
Mm. No,
a bit there was a bit more about Geldof going off at Peaches and taking away her allowance and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, that was it, really.
Fair enough. Here we go.
Bit of a slow week for the Geldofs.
Bit of a slow week for the Geldofs. Shall we go into the... is that for that?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
We'll come back.
I'd like to mention something about language. There are a couple of terms being used a lot these days by guilty white...
That was Bikini Kill, one of their early singles.
Right. And I didn't need those ears.
And, of course, Kathleen Hanna is now in La Tigra.
La Tigra?
La Tigra.
What are they doing? What are they playing?
They're sort of playing sort of electro. No, it's more electro.
Ooh, yeah.
I know. It didn't really work for me either. But that's
why... We love all kinds of music.
Except electro.
Except
electro.
And country.
I like country. I think country's
I don't like
good.
Jazz.
No, you don't like jazz?
Played by tossers.
I've never liked jazz. That's a good look.
That was
a
tactical.
You look a bit like Jar Jar Binks when you did that.
Fuck you.
That's another one for you, too. Anyway, this is what my
first
stitch
bar. I don't think it's appropriate to use harsh language on the radio.
It's 17 minutes past the hour of 11 o'clock. And
it's just not me today, you know.
No.
I don't know what it is. I'm just not, I don't know.
You're not me?
No, I'm not you.
Okay. No, fair enough. I don't want you to be
me. You should come with me to the Jesus Donation Clinic later.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Are they providing virgins?
Last week.
What, do you have to bring your own?
Last week.
What part of... Never mind.
Last week.
Yeah, sure.
Last week was the first anniversary of Hurricane Katrina cutting a swathe across, most of southern USA.
So without spoiling... The segment, we didn't talk. Can we just have a quick production meeting?
Sure.
So if you're at home listening, or even on the web, we referred to before,
interweb.
Can you just like go to the toilet or go to the kitchen?
I can turn off the mics.
Fetch yourself one of the Cokes.
Yeah,
one of those sort of things. So just walk away from the radio. Turn it down so you're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
If they're still listening now, it's a bloody miracle. They're gone.
Are we going to take the piss out of this, or is this a serious?
Bit of both.
Bit of both.
Okay. 50-50.
Come back now!
All right, we're on now. 1 year ago was Hurricane Katrina, anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and it's been bought quite large in the media again with the release of Spike Lee's four-part documentary, When the Levees Broke.
Oh, really?
Requiem in Four Parts. Although
it's quite a long title, isn't it?
It really is. It has been variously referred to as a Spike Lee docu-joint. If anyone knows why, despite what Spike Lee calls his films, they're called Spike Lee joints, just for those who don't know. But anyway, it debuted on HBO in America.
How trendy is that, yeah.
I know.
Is that cool?
It debuted on HBO in America a couple of weeks ago.
He and Kevin Smith should get together and rap about how cool they are.
I think they have, actually. A friend of mine in the States sent me a copy of it, and I sat down and watched it on the weekend, and it does represent, of course, one of the most fundamental failures in American political history. However, to give people some basic background about it, it is a four-hour documentary with absolutely no editorial, apart from the editing, but no narration or no, like, he's not there polemicizing himself.
That's unusual for Spike
Lee. It's basically interviewing both white and black residents of New Orleans, although the criticism of the New Orleans, most of the press in the US has been that it concentrates solely on the black audience. But as Spike Lee said, anyone who says that must have been asleep through the entire fucking 4 hours, to quote Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because it's
and look... A lot of black neighborhoods in New Orleans.
A hell of a lot of black neighborhoods.
Just two. Two very large ones.
The Ninth Ward and St.
Left
Bernard.
And right.
Mm. But
they're big ones.
But what the film suggested was that the levees were perhaps actually brought down by explosives, because there are a number of large thundercrack type noises heard.
Are you saying that it wasn't a hurricane? It was a conspiracy.
No, the hurricane was there, but the argument was that at various parts of the city, the levees were. I don't know. It's a weird argument this guy was making. That it has turned into a way of depouring New Orleans to actually remove the pour. What's actually happening at the moment is that Trump, the Trump organization, is going into New Orleans, into the Ninth Ward particularly, the most damaged part of New Orleans, and going to people whose houses were destroyed, who have
shooting them.
And well, interesting and probably.
If only.
But what was actually happening was...
Now you know why they didn't make me project manager.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. A lot of these people didn't have any insurance, or if they did...
first interview.
Oh, good.
Oh, really? How'd that go?
Yeah. Oh, it was good.
Until you told Trump that his hair made him look like a gwit.
Yeah, not in such harsh language. That'd be above me.
Fair enough. So a lot of people didn't have insurance, but if they did have insurance, funnily enough, they weren't having it paid out on flood damage.
Oh, it's not very smart in New Orleans.
No, considering they're 16 feet below sea level.
Kind of stupid.
But what Trump is doing is going in there through various agents and buying up the houses, basically saying, look, this is worth nothing. Just give me, you know, 20 grand for the land. And people are going, you're right. So they're giving him 20 grand. Wow. And what he's doing is he's gentrifying the black parts of New Orleans.
Interesting.
And, of course, the other big thing, of course, they make a big issue about was Kanye West's rather important and
vocal
statement in front of, next to Mike Myers, who basically looked like, oh, hell, what am I doing here and how quickly can I run off the screen, when Kanye West says George Bush doesn't like black people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you'd have to say that's not necessarily untrue.
Quite interestingly, since then...
He hates all people.
He does.
Well, anyone who looks different or has a different god...
Mm. That's very true. He has to have his god.
Mm. He does.
1 year on,
or both of them, is the case.
Exactly. I wonder if George is going to go into the Second Coming project. He may well do so.
He's got two kids. I reckon he has about twice.
He might just bypass the entire procedure and nominate himself as the second Jesus.
That's a good point.
Nice. Good
the
call.
The George Bush zygote.
Yeah.
I'm still going
to donate that because I quite like the process. Yeah, I'm a process
oriented. Process oriented guy. Yeah.
You're an enabler, aren't you?
I am.
You like to enable.
I am. It's about the people.
Yep. Mm. 1 year on.
And the ons and the offs. Yeah.
Less than 50% of the population of New Orleans are returned, and most of the ones that haven't, 80%, is, funnily enough, the African-American population. Now, there's a couple of interesting things that I got out of this that I thought were quite funny. One was the way the Australian media talked about it. When the first anniversary occurred, what do you think the Australian media, the mainstream Australian media, Channel 9, Channel 10, Channel 7, those bastions of high-quality journalism, like the Telegraph and Piers Ackerman, really, what do you think those media, or how do you think those media reported the first anniversary of Hurricane Katrina? Do you think they covered...
I'm assuming it's homeless black people and not enough aid in the first couple of days. Am I right?
No, you're wrong.
How about how the Australians are doing now after they've left the zone?
Yes!
Oh, he shoots, he scores.
Ivy, you're a legend.
I think I am.
The entire media focus was on Aussies who got out. Now, if you remember, there was a couple of Aussies locked in the Superdome, which turned into the Hellmouth, effectively.
Mm, basically.
You know, a 20,000 people without running water or sewage facilities
and,
for 10 days. Can you imagine what that would have been like? No.
And the army outside to make sure they didn't leave.
Yeah, exactly, which is even more scary. But the Australian talked about, all the Australian media, or particularly the televisual media, talked about Australia, and particularly the one that I have the most problem with was Sunrise.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But see,
Koshy interviewed a man, the Australian
who?
Got out, Koshy?
Who's Koshy?
He's the host of Sunrise, Channel 7's Sunrise program.
Isn't it now Beef?
Pardon?
Andrew O'Keefe, isn't he now?
No, he's the weekend host.
Oh, right.
Koshy is the weekday host.
Did you know he's the only Australian actually to go to Iraq ever?
Who?
Koshy.
David Koch.
Really?
He said that this week. He's actually been to Iraq. And that's good. He's actually went to Iraq this week.
Yep.
On his own. On his own, yeah.
A bit late, I think.
Yeah, but he was the only Australian.
He's going to find it. There's nobody left.
He's the only Australian who's ever been there. In fact.
So democracy's there now.
It is. He took it with him. He took the Australians with him.
His carry-on.
And he was the only person who's ever actually talked to any of the Australian troops since they've been there, who were actually born in Iraq some 20 or 30 years ago. We actually sent them there as embryos. They've been there fighting ever since.
Oh, what a great man.
I'd just like to correct you. They weren't sent as embryos. Oh. They were sent as zygotes.
Zygotes. Sorry. Zygote. Misunderstood.
Now, interesting, Koshy was also the man
that was the first coming.
When the miners from...
Jesus was not one of them.
Oh,
when
you sure?
When, yeah. when the miners were rescued was. From yeah. the mine in Tasmania, I can't remember where it was. When
David Koch was in the mine.
David Koch.
He was the only David, man to go down
no,
the mine.
He was the man who jumped in the king ambulance
they asked
while they
to.
Were being taken to hospital.
They asked
I know, to. But geez, what's more important? You know, being looked after health-wise or... In an embassy with Koshy.
This is the Seven Network who sent down Today Tonight and yep. Captain Makeup Van.
Captain Makeup Van, that's funny.
Yes, just
Who's
so
Captain
that she...
Makeup Van?
What's her name again?
Naomi Robson.
Naomi Robson. Naomi Robson.
Is she now the host as well?
Oh, mm. Today Tonight, yeah.
She always has been the host, I think.
Yeah. Has she? No, she hasn't.
Yes, she has.
But Today Tonight?
Yes.
There's been other hosts of that show.
No.
Not since Stan Grant got sacked.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
see? I didn't need to contextualise.
Stan Grant, and there's another guy.
That wasn't called Today Tonight.
It was real life when he
asked. Yes, it's right.
If you really want to be picky about it, I don't.
Anyway, so that's what the Australian show...
I was thinking This Day Tonight, which is an ABC show from the 70s.
Yeah, totally different. Which also, funnily enough, had Peter Luck. And Peter Luck hosted a version of Today Tonight
uncle.
As well.
And my uncle.
And your uncle too. What I'd like, the things I'd like to point about is in which way, and this is, I mean, apart from the bad way the Australian people, of course, and of course, sure. The other problem I have with the Australian coverage is that we seem to like Australianising tragedy.
So,
you know, Bali was our
September
11
thing,
Katrina.
We got footage
Larry.
Of him in Iraq. Is that what you're saying?
We got footage of Koshy, talking to Australians who got out of New Orleans. Instead of the 1,339 Americans who were killed.
Yes, well, that is true. And that
well, you can't show them. Let's be serious about it.
Well, funnily enough, Spike Lee did. He showed he showed hundreds of dead bodies.
And that's the story.
Yeah, but he didn't show them a year later.
No, he did. Well, he did, because it went to air like last week.
All right, well, there we go. Yeah, I take all of that back.
Indeed. What was interesting, actually, I did a bit of a search today as to...
interesting, yeah.
There was a couple of interesting things. Mm. A couple of interesting things is what,
with the group.
What George Bush actually did.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
This is George Bush fiddling while Rome burned, as the metaphor would go.
Mm.
He waited 7 days before any serious emergency planning was initiated.
Absolutely. He was there.
Now, look, why
on the
would
cusp.
You do that? Why would you, that doesn't even make sense, even for a complete and utter moron.
He
it doesn't make sense, does it?
He thought it was the coming of the Armageddon.
That's quite
you
possible.
See? He's
yeah,
like,
look, if we
he's coming
get,
back!
No, even jokes aside, it's just... You don't get it, do you? You don't get it.
No.
It makes sense if you look at the socioeconomic group who actually needed assistance.
And that's the
all
argument.
The rich people,
all the rich
people got out first, so why the hell
but
help
even so,
anybody
even,
else?
Even
they
for,
didn't
even,
vote for him.
Look, if Hitler was in charge, he'd still... 6 days. I give him 6 days, he'd have something there.
Here's the
maybe 3.5.
Here's
send
the interesting
a tank
deal.
Or a, some Zyklon B.
Here's the interesting deal. Right.
The people's boat.
Interesting deal is... That
I just,
they
I just
called.
Like to make a point that 1 hour in first Nazi reference, Richard. Thank you.
They made a mandatory evacuation of New Orleans the day before because Katrina had been upgraded to Category 5 storm, it had crossed Florida and killed people in Florida at a Category 3. It was going to be a nasty bastard. Mm. Mandatory evacuation. The problem with the mandatory evacuation is you need a car to get out, and if you don't have a car. Then you can't get out.
And they also block the highways.
And after that, they then block the highways, not letting anyone out.
That's right.
So
there was a point where they said, you get out now or we won't let you out. And so all the people who got out, who knew to get out 4 or 5 days before, got out.
Yeah.
And then they stopped the people and started sending them back. They actually barricaded the roads. And that's what the National Guard were called out for, to barricade the roads and send them back.
Yeah. Now, the problem I have is that I think Bush was told there was no one left. I think he was told mandatory evacuation, they'd all
right,
got out,
okay,
there was no one
okay.
left. And even though, and this is the argument of a number of people, even though media were getting into New Orleans in their droves, showing helicopter footage of 80% of the city flooded and people on their roofs saying, help me, and the main thing that the conservative media in the US, which is Fox News, CNN, and some of the major networks were pumping out, was the stories of the looting. So all you were seeing on the major networks was looting.
Yeah,
so there's George Bush going, well, all I got to send down there are troops to stop looting.
Mm.
And they really, that's a police issue, it's a local state issue, it's not actually a federal issue. Because it was only on the more liberal media that you were seeing shots of people dying.
So you're saying that he actually got incorrect advice?
I think he got incorrect advice, but being typical George Bush, I don't think he asked for advice. And he was he was busy. He was chopping wood at his Crawford, Texas ranch.
He was and playing golf.
And playing golf.
We have to remember we have to remember that the first day that George Bush went down there was on day 7 or day 8.
Four.
Yeah.
He went down on day 7 or day 8. Personally, he flew over
so that,
in Air Force One.
That invalidates your arguments. Went down there and then 3 days later.
He actually flew a plane over there 4 days.
The reason why he flew over was he was playing golf in the next state. And then on day 7, he actually went to New Orleans, and they managed to find the one golf course that wasn't flooded, and he actually honestly played golf
in New Orleans
7 days after.
And of course, he also patted the head of FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Michael Brown, who actually quit 3 days later in shame. Patted him on the back and said, "You're doing a good job there, Mike."
Now, the other thing as well, which is kind of bizarre and interesting all at the same time, is that the neighbouring state where these people were fleeing to just happened to be...
Texas.
Yes. Who's in charge of Texas?
The Republicans?
Yeah. Where else were they fleeing? Maybe to the state where his brother, Jeb Bush, was the governor.
Florida, by any
chance. And didn't want to pay for these people.
Excellent.
Easy when you don't have to resettle people.
Now, currently, it's quite bad because my wife, Fee, went down to New Orleans as part of the American Library Association National Conference in August. She saw this documentary and apart from being in tears at various parts of it, was embarrassed that she went down there because ALA, the organization she went down there, had been booked in for a conference long before Katrina happened.
Yep.
They decided to go there because it was a way of actively encouraging the city's getting back on its feet and all this sort of stuff. She now finds out that both the state government, helmed by Senator Catherine Blanco, Governor Catherine Blanco, and the federal government actively encouraged ALA to go down there because it gave the impression that everything was back to normal. Not that they were getting back on their feet and they're all working, because they only let them go to areas that weren't actually flooded, the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, places like that. Mm. Obviously, the convention center, which was also the second hellmouth, had been cleaned up incredibly, but the parts where people died were still blocked off. She feels really bad about the whole thing because she feels like she's been used
she's
participated in it. She said the thing that really struck her when she was down there, that this was all just, a facade. Apart from seeing as she came in, they actually come in from the airport through the back corners of the Lower Ninth Ward, and you actually do see people's houses, like their entire house, out on the lawn.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
With all their stuff just dumped down the lawn, and no one's come to clean it up. And the sludge that's in the houses is toxic because it came out through the sewers and whatever else. What she did say, the biggest business that started to run around New Orleans at the moment is disaster tours.
Oh.
Where you can take a Grey Line coach to take a tour of the Lower Ninth Ward.
Are you kidding me?
Brilliant.
Yeah, so what's happening is a lot of affluent Americans are going down to New Orleans, touring the Lower Ninth Ward, thinking that they're contributing to helping the rebuilding because they've gone and seen it.
Now,
it's a tourist attraction.
It is. Now, also, apparently, the state government there is also giving tax breaks or some kind of breaks to organisations who hold their conferences down there.
Yes, ALA
now,
got those.
One of the organisations, well, the forumy things that I read had their convention-y thing down there. And there was this big movement on there to boycott the convention because it was there.
Yeah.
And it was one of the lowest attended conventions that they'd ever had.
Yeah.
Basically because people said, this isn't fair, it's not good. And there was actually a counter-campaign saying, don't go.
Yeah, understandable. Now, what's actually happening in the US? Because this is actually harming George Bush. This is causing serious damage to George Bush. And there are midterm congressional elections in November. And the Republicans are on the nose, like, big time. So this is starting to hurt the Republicans, and Bush is not looking good out of this. Bush never looks good, but he was not looking good after this. So, funnily enough, there was a story of a gentleman by the name of Rocky Vaccarella. I don't know if anyone heard the story of Rocky Vaccarella.
No.
Rocky is a guy who...
Hey, Rocky.
Named after, not named after Rocky Balboa, but allegedly named after Rocky Marciano. But he drove up, he's a New Orleans resident, drove up from New Orleans up to Washington in his FEMA trailer, because anyone who was allegedly displaced got a trailer to live in, but so far nearly...
As in like a caravan.
Caravan, trailer. Yeah. He drove up there in his FEMA trailer, and he wanted to meet the president. And he camped out on the lawn of the White House, or the outside lawns where he camped, to see the president. Similar to Cindy Sheehan, whose son was killed in Iraq and had been camping outside Bush's ranch in Texas. Rocky basically eventually was let in, which was a real surprise because you don't just camp in front of the White House. And it was like John Howard. I mean, if you're going to camp out in front of Parliament House, John Howard's not going to come out and see you. He's going to come and send the troops to get you moved away, particularly in a trailer because it could hold bombs.
Anything could hold a bomb, apparently, in Sydney. Rubbish bins, too.
Yeah, the whole lot. Now, what it actually turns out is that Rocky is a member of the Louisiana Republican Party and drove up to Washington in his FEMA trailer. And once they found out he was a member of the Republican Party, they let him in. Let me just give you a brief run-through of the transcript of the conversation that George W. Bush had with Rocky. Rocky says, "When we have dinner with President Bush, all I want to do is first thank him. I want to thank him for what he's done. You know, I want to thank the president. I'm not going to go over there to throw any jabs anything or anything like that." Boxing reference, you know.
Yeah.
"President Bush did a lot for us. We're going to let the president know, hey, thanks for everything we've done. We know you're a busy man. We feel safe with him as the chief of our military. And when I talk to President Bush, I want to let him say, hey, you know what? There's been enough mudslinging. And I want to let him know that, you know, thank you for the FEMA trailer." He's driven up in there. "And thank you for what you've done. And you know, there's been a lot of negative publicity towards President Bush, and that's not what we're on about. I just wish the president could have another term in office. You know, I wish you had another 4 years, man." This is when he's got Bush as his arm around him. "Wish you had another 4 years, man. If we had this president for another 4 years, I think it'd be great. But we're going to move on, Mr. President. It's been my pleasure." Bush says, "You're a good man, Rocky. Thank you all." Rocky says, "Thank you, you are too." And then Bush basically hugged him.
Rocky, watch me put my head up your ass.
Yeah. And it's fascinating that was reported in every major media outlet across the United States. They all showed that, and they all showed that it took a day and a half before it came out that Rocky was actually a member of the Republican Party. But there's all the major right-wing media outlets, CNN, Fox, those guys all going, "Look how great our president is. He's human. He hugs this Katrina victim." Mm-hmm. And the reality is it's just a member of the Republican Party was sent up.
Yeah.
Which I find quite distressing. So if you can get your hands on it, people, Spike Lee's documentary is entitled "When the Levees Broke, A Requiem
is
in Four Parts."
Is it in the cinema or is it in DVD?
No, it's a TV only. It will come out on DVD.
Is it doing the rounds?
It is doing the rounds. And hopefully it will get an Australian release. It is a brilliantly constructed documentary, but more so it is one of the most moving testaments to the failure of the American government to actually deal with a major humanitarian crisis in their own country whilst they are spending $1 billion a day trying to bring democracy to Iraq. Now, we're just going to play, this is actually a grab, this grab was played in the movie. It's actually one of the more famous interviews that Mayor of New Orleans, Ray Nagin, did 2 days after Katrina, I think, or a day or two after Katrina on WLLAI AM, which is a AM News Talk radio station in New Orleans. The guy who conducted this interview is actually interviewed in the documentary and is probably one of the most staggeringly sad things I've ever seen. So this is Ray Nagin talking about what he said to the president, and you're on A Walk in the Black Forest. 2RRR, 88.5 FM.
What did you say to the president of the United States, and what did he say to you?
I basically told him we had an incredible crisis here, and that his flying over in Air Force One does not do it justice. And that I have been all around this city, and I am very frustrated because we are not able to marshal resources, and we're outmanned in just about every respect. You know the reason why the looters got out of control? Because we had most of our resources saving people, thousands of people. That was stuck in attics, man. Old ladies, when you pull off the doggone ventilator vent and you look down there and they're standing in there in water up to their freaking neck. And they don't have a clue what's going on down here. They flew down here one time, 2 days after the doggone event was over, with TV cameras, AP reporters, all kind of goddamn, excuse my French, everybody in America, but I am pissed.
Did you say to the President of the United States, I need the military in here?
I said I need everything. Now, I will tell you this, and I give the President some credit on this. He sent one John Wayne dude down here that can get some stuff done, and his name is General Honoré. And he came off the doggone chopper, and he started cussing, and people started moving. And he's getting some stuff done. They ought to give that guy, if they don't want to give it to me, give him full authority to get the job done, and we can save some people.
What do you need right now to get control of this situation?
I need reinforcements. I need troops, man. I need 500 buses, man. We're talking about, you know, one of the briefings we had, they were talking about getting, you know, public school bus drivers to come down here and bus people out here. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is a national disaster. Get every doggone Greyhound bus line in the country and get their asses moving to New Orleans. That's they thinking small, man, and this is a major, major, major deal. When you say...
Oh, sorry.
All right. So
you
the
didn't
point
give me enough
I,
warning
the
there.
Point where I said mics are hot and you decided to play with
mics
it.
Mics are hot. Mics.
So the point where I said the mics are on.
Yes.
I forget it, the both of you. It's just easier if I do the show on my own. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. It's a 1:45.
Turn me on.
So there we go.
I was about to say that was Laura Veers off the album.
Laura Veers.
Laura Veers.
Laura Veers. Why would you call your kid Laura Veers?
If my name was Laura Veers, I'd call my name Laura Veers.
You call your name Laura Veers?
No, my band, Laura Veers.
That was off her brand new album, which is
entitled... Yeah, I would. Or at least the first album.
Year of Meteors. And before that...
The second one would be Laura of Noses.
If anyone wanted to know who that person speaking was, that was New Orleans Mayor Rain Nagin a couple of days after Katrina.
The Naginator.
Getting passionate and getting pissed, as he would, to quote him, about not getting any support from Bush, FEMA, National Guard, or basically anyone who with any authority, power, or weaponry.
Have you actually seen the doco?
I have. I've seen all 4 hours of it on the weekend.
How did you see the doco?
A friend of mine sent it to me from the States.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Then. And I was saddened. It was probably one of the most powerful pieces of television I have watched in a long time.
You're on DVD?
I do. Since watching the most recent version of Where Are They Now?
Really? Yes, it was sad. Look, I was struck by the Grease section.
It's around about 11:40. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. Richard, I believe you are the man.
Let's see how many little things we can get in 15 minutes.
Okay, let's go.
So John Howard says to Jeanette.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
It's a Jesus thing.
And that'll be about 15 seconds.
And I'm going to keep score.
Okay.
Just quickly, Melvin Schwartz died, 73 years old. He was a physicist.
Mm-hmm.
He died of Parkinson's disease and hepatitis C. He was the guy who first found out how to make neutrinos in a laboratory. You know neutrinos. No.
What's a neutrino?
Neutrinos. Billions of neutrinos pass through the planet and people every second.
So do we know they exist, or
they definitely exist?
So we
but
only
he
know
the
they
first
exist
guy to
because
actually produce them.
So he only know we only know they exist because he said they exist.
Yeah, no, they've shown tests. They've had tests.
Yeah, who came up with the test?
He did.
Right.
Now other people came up with the test.
Mm. So technically, he came up with a test.
No, he
to
didn't
prove
come up with
that
the test.
Something he invented.
No,
exists.
Others came up with the
this
test.
This guy is a shyster.
You can't just
oh look,
things like
look,
that
here's a Zupa Loopa. This is how you test for Zupa Loopa. See a Zupa Loopa.
Do you know that Lockheed Martin have just won? The prime they've been nominated prime contractor to build the Orion spaceship, which is the replacement of the space shuttle.
Ah,
yes, and because Lockheed Martin are one of those companies that are very socially responsible.
They are.
They're quite...
Depending on which branch, Pete.
Generally, Lockheed Martin make weaponry.
Yeah, they do.
Mm. And
are you saying that's irresponsible?
They made the B-52.
They
made the stealth bomber.
You know.
Oh, did they?
They did.
I think Lockheed Martin
They're
have...
the Skunk Works guys. They're the guys who...
I knew a guy who worked for the Skunk Works.
Lockheed Martin, I think, have contributed greatly to bringing democracy to Iraq.
Pity they can't bring it to America.
Mm. Now, they're going to build the Orion, which replaces all of the shuttles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to look like, strangely enough, because NASA had this great idea in the 80s that they were spending so much money on all these rockets that would just disintegrate in space and this little small capsule would come back. They decided, let's build a plane, a rocket plane that would go into space and then it can come back and we can reuse it and we won't spend billions of dollars on new spacecraft.
But we'll spend billions of dollars on that.
Yeah.
Each time.
And even that didn't work. Well, the Orion is another step forward from that. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do with this, to replace all the shuttles, they're going to have all these rockets on top of each other, and on the top they're going to have a capsule. And it's going to go into space, and all the rockets disintegrate, and then the capsule floats to Earth.
Oh, that's amazing.
Is that the one that's shaped like an arrow?
That's
like
it. And the good thing about it is there's no plane to explode like they've had two in the past.
So Neil Armstrong's still alive. I wonder if he's willing to go again.
And
Buzz Aldrin, perhaps?
So the first contract is for $3.9 billion, and that will get them one spaceship.
Speaking of space things...
There's a lot of spaceships.
Did you know... You may have this in your little collection, but did you know that the first successful test of Star Wars occurred this week?
In 1977.
Really? Yeah, $80 billion later. $80 billion later. Considering the Australian economy is only worth $600 billion Australian.
Was Lucas there? Or
I believe he did the sound.
Yeah.
Skywalker Ranch was there. You know, that's where it launched from, actually. They first successful test of the Star Wars missile defense system occurred where they blew up a rocket over southern Nevada.
That's very clever. Did you know that the Star Wars defense system was actually part of it, or a lot of the money, certainly towards the end of the Reagan era?
Hmm.
It was a slush fund for Black Ops.
Excellent.
So they had to somehow send money, the Star Wars program, because they weren't actually doing anything.
Yeah, sure.
So it was just a slush fund for Black Ops in South America and various areas of the world.
You know where the idea for Star Wars actually came from?
Did they just make it up?
It was literally, Reagan was sitting in the White House office, and he said, wouldn't it be good, I'm not going to try and imitate Reagan. Wouldn't it be great if you could just shoot them down with lasers? And they went, you're right, let's give it a go.
Great idea, Mr. President.
Man, let's do that.
The funny thing is, it was actually supposed to just be for propaganda, right? And then, George Bush, I don't know whether it was junior or senior, heard about it and thought it was probably quite a good idea to actually decide to fund something that was never actually meant to work.
But now, after $80 billion, it's actually started working.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, let's define working.
So this,
blew a rocket down out of southern Nevada.
Let me get this straight.
It does.
So now the Americans have the ability to blow up anything in space they want
to. No, in southern Nevada.
Oh, well, that's right.
If Iran eventually enriches
another 50 lots of $80 billion to do the other states.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah. If Iran eventually gets a rocket happening, and if they're willing to launch it out of southern Nevada, they can blow it up.
It's safe.
No worries.
Now, this next story,
mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the three fishermen who got lost on a boat?
I read a little bit about this.
What?
Yeah, they got lost in November last year, 2005.
That's a long time ago.
Their little fiberglass boat, 8-metre fiberglass boat, ran out of fuel, and they were at the mercy of the wind, so they drifted off Central America, South America, until August this year, like a couple of months ago, a month ago.
What did they eat?
They ate birds. It says here...
Let me get this straight. They're on a fishing boat and they ate birds.
They're not on a fishing... they're on a little 8-metre dinghy.
Minnow.
They're in the sea.
They're in the sea.
It says minnow.
And according to this guy here, he said, we ate raw fish, ducks and seagulls. We took down any bird that landed on our boat and we ate it like that raw. And then they were picked up. They said, we never lost hope because we kept on seeing boats, at least two a week, but none of them ever saw us. Now, how would you go with that if you're out there for 9 months?
What they haven't addressed is the one fundamental flaw in their argument.
Mm.
What do they do for television?
Yeah, I don't know, Pete. The more interesting thing for me is the
water, actually, is the real fundamental
flaw. One of the fishermen's name was Jesus.
Oh!
Yeah,
it's
I'm thinking,
coming.
Why didn't he just freaking walk home?
Now, the amazing thing about that is, of course...
Loaves and fishes. Loaves and fishes.
The amazing thing about, of course, that is when they were picked up, they also ate the crew who rescued them. Not that hungry.
They were, of course, denied... One of the questions, because they were Mexican, if I remember.
They're Mexico.
Mexico. They did deny that there was any cannibalism involved.
But they are missing one of the crew.
There is a crew member missing, yes.
Yes.
He fell overboard.
Really?
Yeah, he gave up in the first week, seriously.
He did, he just fell overboard.
A boy, 12, did you hear about this
and
one?
And he left us his finger.
Isn't that just left
he
us to
he left his finger.
In the other guy's stomach.
Yeah, he left us his finger, you know. He did. It was a gift. As he fell overboard, he ripped his finger off and left it with us.
Yeah, look,
you know, you'll remember me by my finger.
You'll need something to prove to the shore officials that I was here. Yeah. So take my finger, they'll be able to print
it. Just fingerprint it.
And his foreskin, I believe.
Now, remember when the big crackdown last week in the UK? With all the terrorists, all the planes and everything.
Because they're everything on the plane ever.
Yeah, did you hear about the 12-year-old boy?
No.
He snuck through customs and onto a plane without a boarding pass or a passport. He was only discovered because he was sitting in a seat and one of the stewardesses asked for his boarding pass.
Oops.
And he got all the way onto a plane.
Yeah, this is at Gatwick. He got all the way in there. The boy had passed through a full security screening process and we are confident there was no threat to passengers, staff or the aircraft at any time.
Yeah, but... Hold it. How can you even get that far? Unless you, obviously your parents have the boarding passes and that sort of stuff?
No, he was a homeless boy. He actually ran away from the orphanage earlier that day.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Yeah. He ran away from the orphanage, caught a train to Gatwick, and then got on a plane.
Jeebus.
Was his name Oliver?
Yeah, it was. Strangely enough.
Please, I want to fly some more.
Yeah, it was Ali Mahmeh Oliver.
Poor bastard.
And the last one, if his name was
Ala Makhme Oliver, wouldn't they have just shot him?
No, that wasn't going into Washington.
Oh, misunderstood. Mm. Wait a minute, he did catch the train, didn't he?
He did.
The English police are good at shooting people on trains who look different.
They are too. Mm. Did you know that they're actually trialling a concept of profiling for security screening?
Oh, really?
Because the British head of security at Heathrow Airport said that his grandmother would never strap a bomb to herself, so why does she have to go through the same screening as a person of, and this is his words, of Middle Eastern appearance, who perhaps would strap a bomb to himself?
Oh, well.
So now they are profiling people who are potential terrorists. Oh, now, they've always been using names.
Sounds like New South Wales.
Yeah.
And if your name is on a no-fly register, even if your name isn't that person, you're often stopped, strip-searched, you know, hand up your ass, all that sort of stuff. Now, they're profiling people who are likely terrorists. And that generally has to do with your racial background, your look, your age, and any other information that either the Department of Homeland Security or whatever body you're
It's a hard call, Pete. I'm sensing that I'm not going to get to this, which is the funniest one. But it's a hard call because the police, particularly detectives, have been using ethnic profiling for 50, 60 years because it's a useful way of narrowing down suspects as long as it's not... Yeah, public policy and people don't know about it. Where do you stand morally?
But unfortunately, policing policy becomes public policy when the media are so intent on crime. When the news is driven by crime, what bleeds, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. If then policing policy is led by ethnic origins, I suppose, then the media are also leading news reports by ethnic origins as well.
Well, you've now got a situation where John Howard during the week.
Wasn't that brilliant?
Basically said, just targeted people from Arabic background.
No, Muslims.
Muslim background.
He said Muslims. Not Arabs, not Chinese, not aliens, not New Zealanders. Now, they're in danger.
Yeah. Because they're not integrating. A minority are not integrating, and they need to learn to speak English.
Mm.
Now, this is...
But that's been Australian policy ever since Howard got in, not just necessarily... Muslims.
But interestingly, at the same
time... But he picked the Muslims out, particularly.
Did I say the Muslims?
But they're cutting English...
I'd like to retract that.
They're cutting English language programs at the same time.
Yeah.
So now the free government programs that used to be there in the Hawkeyes are no longer there.
Yeah, and they've replaced it with courses on stock trading, I'm sure.
Probably.
But see, I mean,
how to mow my lawn and get paid less.
Therein lies the fundamental problem with profiling, because all your profiling are... Middle Eastern people, or at least people who fit the profile of Middle Eastern people.
I thought you were scratching.
No. And you know, you've got terrorists. The people who are committing terrorist acts, who did the London bombings, were all homegrown.
And
they're English.
And also, if you look at the terrorists who did 9/11, they were Saudi special forces trained by the Americans.
Some of them were. Some of them were.
The vast majority.
Some of them were Kuwaiti.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were from Pakistan. Mm. So racial profiling
doesn't work.
Is immediate. Is a media hype. It is not an accurate method of determining who is likely to put a bomb on a plane and blow it up. End of story.
Good. End of story.
Okay. Yeah. You got one more?
Yeah, I've got one more. One more, get out of here. In New Zealand, in a town by the name of Tokoroa.
Tokoroa.
English-speaking people, white people have been naming streets in the area.